Thank you, God, that we can declare this truth this morning, God, that it is well with our souls, God. That you are on our side, Lord God, and it doesn't matter who's against us, Father. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for your hand that is not too short to save, nor your ear that is too heavy to hear, Father. So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you, band. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. It's really amazing to see all your beautiful faces, wonderful faces. So I'm going to introduce myself. My name is the handyman of the church. You're laughing, but it's true, actually. So what's been happening is David and myself, you know, as Pastor Richard is running at the back there, sorting out the digger low, where to dig, where not to dig. What happens is the digger low breaks a pipe. And there's water running, and we're like, okay, cool. So we're thinking, it was in December, we're thinking, let's phone Franschhoek Plumbers to come and sort it out. And we phone them, they're like, no, we are fully booked. And I look at the pipe, it was around about 8 o'clock in the morning. So I start working about 8:30. So I'm thinking, I haven't showered yet. What am I going to do? So I ran to our support center, and I'm like, okay, let me just take a quick shower outside. Then after that, I'll think of sorting out the pipe. So what happens is we go to the shop, get the pipe, and all the other stuff that we need to put in. And church, I got it right. So that was, for me, that was like, yes, man, I can do this. Then like, yeah, I think it was this year, my pastor. What happens is the digger low comes again, and I'm in my house. Then I come out. I'm like, it's time for work. I get to my office. Chingy comes to the office like, Moja, there's no water. And after Chingy comes in, Pastor Richard walks in. It's like, Mo, there's no water. The pipe burst, and I'm like, oh, Khona Machantas, Alvia. So I go out there, and I see now, this is a heavy one. So I waited for David, and the whole day we're struggling to find where the tap is to close this water. And now I'm like up to here. I'm like, okay, no. I need to be in my office. I need to be working. So what happens is I'm like, David, we're going to sort this thing out with the water running. David is like, bro, no, it's not going to work. And you know, the man in me says, brother, this is going to work. So what happens is we try to put a new pipe. And the water is running. My word, that felt like a lack of swim. We were wet from head to toe. But on top of that, you know what, we managed to fix it. Key from the bag helped us to switch off the water. So, yes, I'm the handyman of the church. But yeah, no, my name is Moja. I work with Pastor Richard here. I'm the youth pastor. And as I said, it is really amazing to be with all of you this morning. So the reason why I asked us to really pray is because Tuesday evening, actually Monday, my wife felt a strong sense that the Lord said we must pray and we must cover one another and we must put on the full armor of the Lord. And, you know, in our busyness, I totally forgot. I'm like, okay, no, we'll do it. So the Monday evening, we didn't do it. Tuesday evening comes, I'm still working on my sermon. Then 8 o'clock I go home, and my wife says to me, Moja, I've got a bit of pain. And I'm like, okay. Then she says to me, Mo, I've really got pain. And I'm like, okay, let's pray. Then we start praying, and we start praying. At about 11, we notice like, okay, no, this pain is not going anywhere. This pain is like, I'm going to stay here. And then what happens, we had to rush to the hospital. We get to the hospital, and they put some stuff on her. You know, doctors, I don't know what they call those things. But anyways, they said it was there to help. So they put the stuff on, and on top of that, they give her the wrong medication. And then it becomes worse. And I'm just there like, oh, shit, takabura. These guys are really not sorting my wife out. And then I had to leave her there, come back, and I'm like, okay, in the morning I'm going to go fetch her. When I get to the hospital, they're like, no, she cannot go home today. She still has to be here. We gave her the wrong medication. Now that stuff has to go out of her system first before she can come. And I'm just thinking, no, man, we cannot start off the year this way. This is not on. This is not like, I don't like it when my wife is away from me. This is not cool. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do about this situation? I got my accountability partners together. I'm like, okay, guys, we need to pray about this. They were praying. I was praying. Everybody else was praying. And then there was a release. There was a release. My wife came home Thursday morning. I went to go fetch her. And now, church, she is much better and she's doing well. And I just want to thank you for your support. It really means a lot to us as a family. So thank you for praying with us. And indeed, I just want us to remain vigilant in this season, because the Bible clearly says that we've got an enemy. He's walking around like a lion, seeing whom he may devour. So Satan wants to intimidate us in the beginning because he knows that God has got amazing plans for this year. So the enemy is going to come with all his schemes, and he's going to want you to focus on him and not on God. Because when trouble comes, what do we do normally as human beings? We focus on the trouble instead of lifting up our eyes to our Savior, the one that can deliver us out of this trouble. So church, this morning, I just want us to be aware that, listen, I'm not promoting Satan in the church, but I want to tell you, he's going to try to get us down. But we are not of those that draw back to perdition, because we know who our God is. He is mighty to save. So this week, as I'm preparing for this morning, you know, I was just taken back of when my parents came to visit last year, December, and we are just driving around the Cape, and all I'm hearing is like, ooh, ah, and ooh, I look at my wife, I'm like, what is wrong? And I'm like, we're just driving around Franschhoek. I'm like, maybe this will stop. We go to Cape Town, and then we got to Kemp's Bay, and they're like, whoa. And I'm like, what are you? So I was just taken back of the majesty of God. They were noticing how beautiful the Western Cape is. And I'm like, oh my word, I totally forgot that we live in the most beautiful place. Because you get so busy, you're just driving around, you just like, oh yeah, there's the mountain. Yeah. But they were like, woo, and a bit of ah. And I was like, man, this is amazing. So they came to visit us all the way from Potchefstroom. But the night before they left, they were supposed to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning. So my dad-in-law goes to visit my parents. And he's telling them about when they came to visit, how amazing it was. So after the conversation, my dad-in-law goes home, and then my dad looks at my mom. It's like, is the bags packed? And my mom's like, yes, it's 8:30 in the evening. It's like, let's go. They start driving, and they get you, and they ask if their GPS died on the road. And they ask him, so where do we go? I'm like, where are you now? They're like, no, we are at this other place, Pearl. Excuse me, mom? Yeah, no, this place, Pearl. And next let's just, I've never been to Pearl in my life. I don't know where this place is. But the place is named, it was Paul, the Pearl. So I had to go fetch them that side. And we get home, and my mom looks at me. And she says, Moja? I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm so excited to see you. She's like, you're not as cute as you used to be. And what is my response? Thanks, mom. What a way to build my confidence. Then she looks at me again. She's like, listen, you and I are going to go shopping tomorrow. I'm going to buy you shirts that fit. And next night she was, okay, ma. But it's okay. She's my mom. So like, yeah, 2017 was really amazing. It was extraordinary. We had amazing sermons from Jolene speaking about, you know what, what was the topic again? Being filled with walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, just talking about the holiness of God. And then we had Uncle Graham, Joseph, take courage, the Lord is calling you. And then on top of that, we had Pastor Richard Wade with Does God Care About Your Happiness? An expository sermon on someone. And who can forget that? I mean, like, he also broke out with his dance move. Who remembers that one? All of us. After that, I thought to myself, I need to go take dance lessons. There is no way my pastor can beat me at dancing. So even though last year was so full of amazing memories and extraordinary things that took place, there was a time in my life where I really took a massive knock. And that came about July, August. I took a massive knock. And it was in the sense where the Lord was saying, okay, now Moshe, you need to pause. You need to pause now. You need to stop. And you need to focus. You need to focus. And I'm like, Lord, I just came back from a mission trip. I mean, like, we reached around about 7,000 youth. And you telling me I need to focus. Lord, I was out there doing the work of your ministry. I am focused. God, you've got the wrong person. And in that, I feel like, no, man. This cannot be happening at this stage. Why now? Everything is fine. The Lord's like, Nia Boiki. It's time. Take a break. You're going to pause now and you're going to stop. And I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with your heart. I'm going to deal with a few things in your heart. And I was like, okay, let's see where does this go. And I'm wanting, the topic of my sermon this morning is the heart talk. And I'm wanting to read us a scripture from Jeremiah 18. And I know most of us know this story, but I'm wanting to read it to us again. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred, and in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to make. So we all know this story. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. It's like, listen, I'm wanting to show you something. So when he gets to the potter's house, the potter is busy making that pot. And the thing is, the pot that he made is not what he had envisioned. The pot that he made was not pleasing to his eyes. It was full of flaws. It was disfigured. It wasn't lekker. And what happens in the story as we read on, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at the clay in the potter's hand. So are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So this scripture plays a huge role in my life. Where the Lord is like, can I not do with you as the potter is doing with the clay? Can I not work with your heart? Can I not just mold you and form you into what I actually want your heart to be like? Because whatever is in your heart right now is not lekker, it's not legit. So I'm wanting to do a work in your heart. Are you willing to get on the potter's wheel? Are you willing to be on that table that I'm like the Lord is like a doctor now, placing you on the table as a surgeon, and he's going to be cutting. And it's like, are you willing? Are you willing? And the Lord is speaking to me about this. Are you willing to be on the potter's wheel so that I can work with you? And I looked at my life and I'm like, but it's just a small thing. But that small thing was not really small, actually. The Lord is like, okay, we need to get on the potter's wheel. And what I love about the potter's wheel is that the potter sees everything that goes around the wheel. Because that wheel is turning. And it's turning. And he sees everything on it. It's not like he's missing a spot. He's got his hands in. And when he feels that piece of wire or whatever in there, it's like, okay, pull that out. Let's pull this out. Let's pull this out. And sometimes what happens is that he has to break it. He has to make it flat and then make it again. So when the clay, we as human beings, if we decide today, we're going to get on the potter's wheel, what is going to be our response? God, do whatever it takes that I may look like you, or God, just leave me alone. Imagine the clay saying to the potter, you have broken me enough now. This is not it. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up for massages. And all I'm getting from you is breakdown, removing and cutting and chopping. I didn't sign up for this. This is enough. Because I feel like that's most of us from time to time. When the Lord begins to work in our hearts, we pull away from God. It's like we hear, I am in the potter's wheel. The Lord is busy working. Where's my massage? Because this is hurting. Then we get off. And we're like, no, that's not the place I need to be. But we need to understand, church, when we said yes to Jesus, it wasn't just like, hey, we're going to have a good time only. It was, hey, listen, there's going to come a time where he needs to prune us and where he's going to shape us. So because God doesn't want us to grow like the friendship trees, have you noticed them? They all grow like this now. Because the wind is beating on them. They're like, okay, we're going this way, Captain America. But no, the Lord wants us to grow this way. So what he's going to do is, the Lord is going to be working in our hearts this year. And we must be willing as people to be like, okay, Father, here I am. Here I am. Do whatever you want to do with me. And I can tell you, church, it's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be pleasant from time to time. But we need to go through this process. As I was going through this process, it wasn't nice. It wasn't nice because the Lord began to show me, okay, this is going to cause you to stumble. Let's deal with that. That needs to go, and that needs to go. So, church, I'm not speaking from a place of I don't understand what I'm talking about. You can ask my accountability partners. Man, it wasn't a lackadaisical year for me. It wasn't a good time for me. June, July, going up in the year, it wasn't nice. And on top of that, you know, as I mentioned before in one of my sermons, David and I, we on a Friday, you know, we just go and we just play a bit of Xbox there, play a bit of FIFA or whatsoever. And you know, when you're going through these trials and tribulation, you would expect to win a bit. Like, you know, to be cut some slack, score a goal or whatsoever. But David had no mercy on me. He just kept scoring and scoring. And this also made me like, Brew, come on. Can't you see I'm going through a rough time here and you still scoring goals? Cut me some slack. And we wonder from time to time, ah, man, I've been on this position for many years, for many seasons. Cut me some slack. Can I not come out of this? But church, if God is not done working, we are not done waiting. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to wait until God is fully done with us. So that, you know, when we are on that potter's wheel, the Lord can just form us into what he had envisioned beforehand. God had a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And his plan is so that we fulfill the work of Christ in our lives and to fulfill the call of God upon our lives. But in order for us to do that, what is needed? What is needed? A bit of pruning there, and a bit of cutting, and a bit of let's build. Let's break down, and let's build. Let's break down, and let us build. Pastor Richard asked the question last week, who's been involved in a building project? I was sitting right here, and I began to laugh a bit, because I was involved with the building project back then in Porch. And my mom and dad, they're like, we're going to be building 2 extra rooms outside for you and your brother. And I'm like, yes, my whole life I've been sharing a room with my brother. I need my own space. So what happens is my 2 uncles come about and they start digging. And yeah, this is amazing. We're going to be building. And they digging. 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 Don't dig anymore. And they keep on digging. And then they take a measuring tape to see if they've dug enough. And what do they continue to do? It's not deep enough. Again in the ground, and they start digging again. And so, my face started like this. My own room. Then my face started going. You know, when this is no longer this way, it comes down, and your rak biki sier now. It's like you've eaten a sour lemon. And I'm like, okay, let me give them some grace. Then they're like, okay, we are done digging. We're going to put the foundation now. And they put the foundation. And I'm like, yes, this is progress. This is working. This is going to be amazing. Then they say, no, we have to wait a day or two for the cement to set. And I'm like, guys, this is not what I signed up for. I signed up for my own room, my own bathroom. This is not what I want. This is not what I want. And they mixing their cements and they going crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I just want to pull my hair out. And then I realize I've got no hair. So I need a tweezer to like plug one out. And it wasn't lacquer. I'm getting frustrated at this project that is not being finished. And I'm like, yeah, this is not working for me. It's frustrating. It's not going to end. And I want to say, church, that the Lord is going to be digging and digging and digging and more digging. And He's going to dig even more in our hearts until there is nothing left of ourselves that He can come in and work. Because what does John say to His disciples? In order for Christ to increase, what must happen to me? I must decrease. For Him to increase, I must decrease. So, after the Lord is done digging, He's going to set a foundation. And that foundation is not going to be of the imaginary Christ that we've always thought of. But it's going to be about the real Jesus. The Jesus that we read of in Matthew 16 that says to us, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself and come and follow me. That is the kind of Jesus that the Lord is going to be setting a foundation on our hearts. And that's where we're going to be building upon. Because we've got this image of Jesus of saying, you know what? No. I'll only receive the good. I don't want any pruning. I don't want any house construction happening. I just want happy days. I just want happy days. And believe you me, the Lord is also, like Pastor Richard preached, the Lord does care about your happiness. But remember, true joy comes from a place of knowing the Lord. True joy only comes from that place of knowing the Lord. And God is going to cause us to be on our knees. He's going to cause us to be on the potter's wheel. Whether we like it or whether we don't, our hearts is to respond to God and say, Father, no matter what, do what you will. I want to be like clay in your hands. In preparation, I strongly felt that the Lord is wanting to form us in the likeness of Jesus. And in this time of shaping and forming, you will be surprised what comes out of your life. You will be surprised of what is going to come out. Going back to my story, last year, I'm going to share this, I asked for permission. Last year, as I'm going through this time, Uncle Dave was in my office, and I'm like, no, man, this is not on. This is not right. I'm not feeling lekker. And then I walk away, and I realized, oh, my word, I just reacted to a situation, and I didn't respond to that situation. So I come back to my office, and I'm like, you see, Dave, listen, man, I just want to say I'm sorry for the way I reacted and not responded to the situation. And, you know, I was expecting, ach, Mo, brother, it's fine. It's okay. Like, don't worry about it. And he looks at me, he's like, what comes out when you are being squeezed? church. I looked at him. I'm like, this brother doesn't know me. Turned around and went back to my house. Then I come back again. I'm like, man, this is not odd. And I look at David. And I'm like, I don't have words. Then I go back home. But that was the thing. What comes out? What came out when I was being squeezed? I thought to myself, man, I am a orange. But I can tell you that day it was a Cyrillian moon, man, sir. You see, outwardly I looked like, man, this is a good orange. But the moment that came, it wasn't orange anymore. It was green. And I was like, oh my word. And the scripture that popped into my head was in Revelation 3. And to the church, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And church, we can have a name to be alive. We can look so pretty outside, but then we can forget about what is actually going on inside. Because we are so focused on the external. How we want people to perceive us. How we want people to look at us. Oh my word, that is Mo. He can preach, hey? That is Mo. Like, listen, that guy. Because we are so focused on the external that we miss the heart of God. When God begins to speak to us about the things that's inside, we're like, no, I am not, because this is amazing. This is amazing. So I preach the sermon at youth. I'm like, guys, we have to stop looking like beautiful butterflies, knowing that we are actually moths. And the whole youth went like, and David is like, and I'm like, yes, David is in agreement with me. So I was like, guys, no, we need to be concerned about our hearts and not about our outward appearance. We need to come to the place, Father, yes, my heart, search me inside, God. Search me inside and take away everything that is not pleasing of you. Because I want to come to the place, Father, where I know you, where I am following you, where my heart is yours and everything about me cries out, Abba, Father. And not just, hey, listen, I've got my church clothing on and that's it. God is wanting to work with our hearts, people. God is wanting to work with our hearts. Couple of years ago, I was in the rap scene. Man, sometimes, you know, I look at my past and I'm like, what was I thinking? But back then in my rap scene, there was a song that everybody used to like to sing. And it was by Eminem. I don't know who knows that guy. And he says this, I'm sorry, mama. I never meant to hurt you. But tonight, I'm cleaning out my closet. And that title got stuck in my head. Cleaning out the closet. Cleaning out the closet. That's what we need to do. Father, I've been having my church clothes on, telling everybody I'm alive. But Father, I know, and you know that I'm dead. You know that I'm full of dead man's bones. So, Father, will you come and work with my heart? Will you come and work with my heart? Church, let me ask a question this morning. If by some miracle I could go to heaven today and I ask the Lord, Father, how do you see, I'm going to use one of my youth leaders, how do you see Roper? And the Lord will say, and I'll be writing down everything that the Lord is saying. Writing down everything the Lord is saying. Then I come to Aaron. I'm like, Aaron, how do you see Roper? And Aaron would give me his list. Church, will the list match? Will the list match? I don't think the list would match. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we put up a front. We put up a front for the sake of reputation. For the sake of trying to fool everybody around us. Church, I'm not going to lie. Last year, it was hectic. It was really hectic for me. Thank the Lord for Pastor Richard and Jolene. The Lord used them as instruments in my life to shape me. To shape me. And I'm not going to lie, it wasn't a lack of season, but I needed to go through it. I needed to go through it. So when Pastor Richard announced last week the sermon, like the series that we're going to be doing, and I'm like, this is what the Lord has been speaking to me since the beginning of the year. Since the beginning of the year, that He wants to work with the hearts of men. He wants to work with the hearts of men. Last scripture, second last scripture that I'm wanting to share is in Matthew 23, verse 25 to 26. And he said, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." Jesus is speaking. It's like, it's about the heart. Because when we read the story of the Pharisees, scripture says they were men known to walk about the town and everybody was praising them. They were praising them because they dressed like the wise men. Everybody was impressed with how they looked. But Jesus says, "I know you guys. I know you guys. What's in the heart? What is in the heart?" For a moment this morning, can we just pause and just ask the Lord, "Father, what's in my heart? What are the things that are not pleasing to you?" And Father, I know it's not going to be nice, but I want to get back on the potter's wheel so that you can deal with my heart. With my heart. Scripture says this, that out of the heart flows the issues of life. What is your heart full of? Because if your heart is full of Christ, when you get squeezed, Christ will come out. When you are full of yourself, anger, whatsoever, will come out. And sometimes we are so big that we don't fit into God's picture anymore, and God needs to trim us so that we can fit. Church, as the band comes up, I want us to go back to that scripture in Jeremiah. Verse 5 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." Pastor Richard also said last week that we're not forcing anyone. If you feel like it, you don't actually want to respond and say, "Okay, Father, deal with my heart," we're not going to be mad or whatsoever, because it's the Lord that's going to speak to your heart. We just trust that the Lord will come in and that the Lord will show you what you need to be dealing with. Can we close our eyes this morning? Father, we thank you, God, that in your word you say you have plans for us, God. And your plans, Lord God, are not to harm us, but are there to prosper us, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that in this time, that we will be real with ourselves, Father, and really ask you, Father, to search our hearts and to point out, Lord God, the things that are not pleasing to you. Lord Jesus, will you just come and take away what is not of you in our hearts? Will you come and form us and mold us into what you want us to be?
Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you will show us as a body, Lord God, what is inside our hearts. This morning, if you just want to respond to the word and say to the Lord, Father, here I am. Will you please deal with my heart? I just want to invite you to come to the front. There's going to be ministry facilitators to pray with you.
I just want to just add to what Moja shared this morning, you know. The place he's sharing from is a very real place, and I've seen him walk that journey, and it's just been so encouraging just to see the way that he's climbed onto the potter's wheel bravely with a lot of questions, but just said, "Yes, Lord, I don't see the things that perhaps other people see, but I trust to see what you see, because you're the potter and you can see all the angles, all the imperfections, all the little things that need to change." And I just want to actually want us all to stand right now. And God is clearly speaking to us. He knows where he wants to take us. But he's starting with the difficult part. He's starting with the hearts. And so I didn't even know what Moja was going to share this morning. But clearly the Lord is tying up the messages. He's tying up what he wants to say to us. And he's starting with the foundations. He's starting with the things that are important before we jump into 2018. And before he does amazing things in our lives, through our lives in 2018. And he's starting with the difficult part. He's starting with the unseen part. And so I want to challenge you. What Moja said through that rapper, it's time to clean out the closet. And God is calling you this morning, I believe. He's calling all of us. I know there's stuff that he wants to chip away at my life this week coming. So I know I need to climb onto the potter's wheel this week. And he's doing it. He's doing it because he loves us. And he knows what's best for us. He made us. He's got the manual. And he's calling you this morning. And so I want to encourage you to be brave enough this morning. To be introspective. To reflect on the state and the condition of your heart. And ask yourself that tough question. What's in your closet? What's in your closet? We all have closets. Are you ready to clean out the closet? And he's patient with us. He's gentle with us. And all he wants this morning is for you to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready for you to have a look inside." Not everything's going to get fixed this morning or this week or even in this month. But he just needs that first step, of obedience. So I want to encourage you, be brave. There's a lot more people that should be in the front this morning, I believe. So if the Lord's speaking to you, if the Holy Spirit is knocking on your door, come to the front. Let us pray for you. Start the journey. Start the journey of the Lord doing that amazing work in your heart. And the rest of us are just going to worship together.